Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Several NBA playoff games have been postponed after the Milwaukee Bucks boycott of Game 5 over the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The family of the Wisconsin man shot 7 times in the back in front of his children says Blake is partially paralyzed. Meantime, a 17-year-old faces murder charges in connection with the killing of 2 people after protests in Kenosha Tuesday night. We check in on the situation in Wisconsin and its effect on the sports world. Then, voting is one way to make change, but not if your ballot is rejected. We learn how to avoid common mail-in balloting mistakes. That's all next on Forum, after this news. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Protesters condemning the police shooting of Jacob Blake gathered in Los Angeles and Oakland last night to demand accountability from the officers involved and justice for Blake.
Justice for Jacob! Tell the killer comes! Justice for Jacob! Tell the killer comes!
Meantime, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse faces charges of first-degree intentional homicide for allegedly killing 2 people after protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Tuesday night. Kenosha is again under curfew, and for more on what's happening there, we turn to Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
So you were in Kenosha last night. What were the protests like there?
So I have to say, last night's protests were very different from what we had seen the previous 3 nights. We didn't really know what to expect going into last night because we knew there was going to be a huge police presence. We knew that our governor had increased the number of National Guard troops who would be available to assist police in Kenosha. He had authorized up to 500 troops to be there. And we knew that there was going to be some level of federal involvement because President Donald Trump had tweeted about Kenosha and said that was going to happen. And, you know, so you had all that built up, and the shooting the night before led to a lot of uncertainty. What you saw last night was that, aside from kind of a brief appearance at around 7 o'clock last night by a large, you know, armored police vehicle, police basically kept their distance all night. And, you know, I was out there for several hours as protesters marched around the city. And at least last night, there were no confrontations with police that I saw. And there, you know, were none of the militia out in the streets with long guns, open carrying, that were in Kenosha the night before.
Hmm. And what did you see while you were there? And what was the general mood?
Well, I mean, the city.
Meaning like the scene of the city, yes.
Yeah. The city looks, I mean, it looks very different from for anybody who would know Kenosha. There are a lot of buildings that have been, you know, burned. They're just reduced to a pile of rubble. There are, used car lots in the neighborhood there where the, you know, the cars are just, you know, totally burnt. There are city trucks that had been parked here and there, blocking off intersections. They've been burnt. The county courthouse and a number of surrounding buildings have been blocked off by this large steel fence that you've seen, you know, in other cities like Portland. It's a huge security perimeter. And, you know, just property damage kind of widespread in Kenosha, which is a town of about 100,000 people in this neighborhood specifically.
And what do we know about the status of Jacob Blake?
What we know right now, you know, is at least from his attorneys who have talked to a variety of news outlets, you know, they told NPR that Blake was still in critical condition. He'd had several operations. The odds of him walking again are not very probable. The Wall Street Journal reported that at least one bullet went through his spinal cord, leaving him paralyzed. His liver and kidney were damaged. He has holes in his stomach, and his colon and small intestines were removed. You know, on Tuesday, he was in stable, but still in the intensive care unit. And they said he would require many surgeries.
We know that following the protests on Tuesday night, there was some kind of interaction at a gas station, and a man, a 17-year-old actually, named Kyle Rittenhouse, has been arrested now in connection with the killing of two people. Can you tell us what you're learning about Kyle Rittenhouse and why he was arrested at his home in Antioch, Illinois, as opposed to in Kenosha when the incident occurred, where many police officers were present?
A lot of what we know about what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse that night comes from, you know, this really huge collection, it feels like, of social media accounts from people who are there, who go to these things, you know, either to for their Twitter feed, for their Facebook live stream, for other live streams. They were right there at the scene of some of the most horrific events that happened in Kenosha that night. And so there's video and pictures of Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, we know that, as you mentioned, he's a 17-year-old from Antioch, Illinois. He is he's wanted in Kenosha on accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, and after having fled the state of Wisconsin with the intent to avoid prosecution for that offense, according to court documents. And he was there as a self-appointed local militia, helping guard businesses. You know, he described himself as being there to step in if, you know, if something happened. He had a weapon at his ready, and, and WBEZ reported he was part of a public safety cadet program as a teenager and very active in, you know, kind of the Blue Lives Matter movement and the gun, you know, a very pro-gun activist, I think you described him as. That night, you know, after the shootings, which are captured on video, you do see him approaching police with his hands in the air. They tell him to clear the street, essentially. And, you know, it's not until he goes back to Illinois that he's arrested. We just know that the police chief said yesterday that it was essentially a chaotic situation there. And that's why he wasn't arrested. Although it wasn't clear that he had seen that video specifically.
The police chief, Kenosha Police Chief Dan Miskinis, says quite a bit more as well in terms of what he thinks caused this shooting, these killings, actually. And I want to play a little bit for you now. Here's Police Chief Dan Miskinis.
Everybody involved was out after the curfew. I'm not going to make a great deal of that, but the point is the curfew's in place to protect. Had persons not been out involved in violation of that, perhaps the situation that, that unfolded would not have happened.
Has there been a reaction to that? I mean, definitely there has been here in the Bay Area the suggestion that, you know, had people not been out after curfew, essentially protesters, that what unfolded would not have happened, essentially almost blaming them for the killings?
It was a shocking press conference. I mean, it was a shocking turn of events. It's been a horrible week for Kenosha. And so, you know, two people being shot fatally on the streets, captured on video. People wanted to hear at this press conference about that. And it took them quite a while, the police chief of Kenosha, the city and county, to get to that point. They also raised they talked about why it was a good idea to not deputize militia to protect Kenosha. And they talked about it in terms of that would have been a bad liability mistake. You know, that was the first time that they raised the issue, was in talking about it, you know, in terms of liability. So, yes, that caught people's attention here when it was described in that way and under those terms.
I know that you cover politics for Wisconsin Public Radio, among so many other things, but can you help us understand a little bit about the relationship between the police department and the community, if you have any insight into that, but also into, you know, some confusing comments by the governor about whether or not, you know, he would be accepting more troops to send to assist police there and sheriff's deputies there. So help us understand why there just seems to be more confusion than clarity coming from officials.
Well, I mean, in terms of the police department's relationship with the community, I mean, I think that you could probably say any community is going to have some sort of a history there, a complicated history. But in Kenosha, they're actually, we have a state law now when it comes to investigations when someone is shot by police. And that state law was pushed for by a man named Michael Bell, whose son was shot by police outside of their home in 2004 in Kenosha. So there is a history in that community of dealing with events like this. In terms of Wisconsin and what the governor has ordered, his first comments about the shooting of Jacob Blake were, you know, critical of what he saw of the police shooting. And over time, he authorized 125 National Guard. He increased that to 250. What you've heard from Republicans in Wisconsin who control the legislature, and what you heard from a number of local officials in Kenosha, was that they wanted more National Guard. The governor said he never heard that from them directly. But the White House is saying they wanted to send more and that the governor declined them. He has now authorized up to 500 National Guard troops, but you didn't see them out publicly last night.
Well, we just have about 30 seconds or so left. And can you help us understand where you feel like folks in Wisconsin are on this issue right now? I'm sure this is not something they necessarily thought would happen in their state, in the county of Kenosha, what they're grappling with. 30 seconds.
It's a very closely divided state in terms of our politics, about as closely divided as you get. And Kenosha is kind of split down the middle as well. And so it's not like everybody's on the same page when it comes to what's happened in Kenosha. You know, watching these shootings is horrific. People are also bothered by watching buildings burn in Kenosha.
Well, Sean Johnson, thanks for giving us the situation there. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll have more on the Jacob Blake shooting and also its effect on the sports world after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mina Kim.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.